I know you guys prayed in the morning. Maybe we can pray a short prayer again now together. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Lord, for gathering us here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all what you have been doing in us and speaking to us and all the messages you've been giving us. We want more of you, Lord, in our life. We want, Lord, to be led by you, guided by you. Continue, Lord, to guide us and lead us, Lord, so we can break free from the masks, Lord, we have been covering ourselves with to live the life you have called us to live, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you guide this talk and discussion and that you'd be the one speaking through each and every one of us so we can always build each other up. And let your words, Lord, and your message be engraved in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, so we would not forget it and we would be living by it, Lord, to be set free. I pray all these things in your most holy and precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercession of our Mother, Saint Mary, Saint Mark, Pope Corollos, Marimina, Abu Sifin, Toma Virini, and all the saints, and Saint Stephen, and all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Amen. All right. Everyone was here for Abuna's talk yesterday evening? Yes. So, what did Abuna talk about? How to get rid of the masks. And he gave four steps, right? Four things to do to get rid of the masks. Does anyone remember them?
Contemplation alone, right?
Yes.
Read.
Mm-hmm.
Deep thoughts.
Asking questions, very good.
And afterwards, you can ask for advice, but not before you read, right?
Very good. Excellent. Wow. That's impressive. Now we're going to come to the final talk, and that is how to keep those masks off. So we learn how to take them off, but we're afraid that after we take them off, they're going to come back on again. So how can we keep those masks off? There are some things, some practical steps that will help us keep those masks off. The handout will really hinder us. I usually don't like to give handouts because it hinders the spirit from flowing and speaking freely. But we're not going to be limited to this handout, but this is for you just in case we don't cover something there. And if you want to write additional notes or anything like that. So don't focus much on the notes. So how can we keep those masks off? We said that we focused a lot last time we talked about how to have a healthy relationship with self. And if I have a healthy relationship with myself, I can have a healthy relationship with others. I can also have a healthy relationship with God. But having a healthy relationship with God and with myself, they're intertwined. You cannot really tell which comes first because they come kind of together. If I have a healthy relationship with myself, I can have a healthy relationship with God. And when I have a healthy relationship with God, I can have a healthier relationship with myself. So they kind of come together. And in order for me to have this healthy relationship with God, I need to reach those three points we talked about last time, which is feeling adequate, secure, and content. So that's, if I want to keep the mask off, I will need to always be asking myself, how is my relationship with myself going? And basically, if I have a healthy relationship with myself, it means I have a healthy relationship with God. Is this clear? They're together. If I say I have a healthy relationship with myself, it means I definitely am very connected with God. Because I'm not very connected with God, I'm not going to have a healthy relationship with self. So that's the first one. We're not going to talk much about this one because we talked about it a little bit last time. How to keep the mask off. The second one is being an individual, okay, versus being part of a group, versus conforming to a group, okay? What does that mean? means that God made each one of us very unique. Do we all agree that there are not two people here who think the same, who behave the same way, who have the 100% the same beliefs? We are different. So each one of us, God made each one of us unique. And I need to know who I am and what is this uniqueness in me and this individual, like how I am an individual, okay? Can someone read for us Romans 12:2? Sometimes it's very difficult for me to know who I am and how unique I am because of the pressures of society and because of the pressure of the crowd, of the media. Okay? If someone found it, can read it out loud for us.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
What is this verse saying? I know a lot of you did not sleep well yesterday, so it will be difficult, especially after breakfast, but we'll try. We'll try our best. What is this first verse saying?
That you have to, I'm just reading what it said, that you have to renew your mind so that you're not transformed to the world. Like spending that quiet time with God and clearing your head.
Very good. So I need to always be cautious, because if I am not cautious, I will find myself thinking the same way everyone else is thinking, behaving the same way everyone is behaving, dressing the same way everyone is dressing, talking the same way everyone is talking. If I don't take a step back and be careful not to conform to the norm, I will not find my identity and I will not be unique. And usually we fall in this trap because of the problem in the first point, which is I don't feel adequate, I don't feel secure, so let me just hide in. So we need to be very careful of this. To always remember, I am an individual, who I really am. If I don't know who I really am, it's a big problem. Why? If I don't know who I am, what I like, what I believe in, why I do what I do, what I want, what I love, what I hate, these things are very clear to me. I know exactly what I want, I know exactly what I love, I know exactly what I hate. Very good. So I'll be very influenced. And why is that a big problem?
Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Okay, I'll lose my individuality. I will fall for anything. But there is a bigger problem. Exactly. That's the bigger problem. The bigger problem, if I don't know my individuality and my uniqueness, I will not make the difference God created me to make in this world. And if each and every one of us, and if which what you find really around you, if you look around, you find people are conforming these days. And because of media, you find the world, in a way, is conforming to a certain style of life. I'm not sure if you're noticing this or not. And because people are so busy and they don't know how to sit by themselves and with God to figure out this, we lose our individualism and we become followers of a group, and basically we don't make the world what God wants this world to be. You see what this is, a big problem. Because each one of us will leave a mark for the next generation. And if we don't leave this mark, society is going down. So if I refuse to sit by myself, I'm in a way refusing, I know it's a big statement, but in a way I'm refusing Christ. Because I'm refusing to know who He is and what He wants from me. Okay? There are so many examples in the church, in the Bible, of people who knew their individualism. Someone wants to give me a strong example? Daniel. What was the norm at his time? To worship idols and to eat those delicacies and to just follow this trend. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Who else? Joseph, what was the norm? Come on, your mistress. The norm is someone who's better than you. You just conform to what they want. And he didn't. Modern day examples. How about Saint Athanasius? What did they tell him? The whole world is against you. Like, you're crazy. Everyone is against what you're saying, is against your belief. And did this shake him?
No.
What was his answer?
I am against.
And he said, I am against the world. It's not. I know exactly what I know, and I'm going to stand. And this is exactly what God wants us to do. Is if the whole norm, and sometimes if the whole Christian group, and if sometimes if the whole church society is saying something, it doesn't necessarily mean because they are all saying something, then it's true. But that's why I need to have this strong relationship with God and read a lot in order for me to know what my individuality. Christ went through this pressure too. What did they tell him? What was the pressure he was going through? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. He was trying to persuade him not to go through the cross, the pain of the cross. And he told him he was able to know exactly why he's here, what he's supposed to do, what his call is. And he stopped him and he told him, get away from me, Satan. Even though it sounds logical, we need you, you're doing so many miracles, you're doing so much good. But because he knew, this is my mission, this is my call, I can definitely stand and stay away. Even though what they're saying is very logical. What else?
The Buddha said yesterday with the washing of the feet.
Mm. That was very, very against the norm. Who were really against him? The scribes and the Pharisees, you know? The scribes and the Pharisees were the church back then. And what did he say about them? He was so clear. He said, they are blind leading the blind. And when the apostles came and spoke to him about the Pharisees, and they're saying this about us and they're saying that, he told them, these are blind leading the blind. So he was very clear not to be persuaded by the crowd. So let's be very aware that this world will decline very fast if we are conforming, okay? And we are not living this call God wants us to live. It's like a symphony. In order to have the most amazing symphony, everyone is holding into a special instrument and they know how to play this instrument very well, but everyone has a different instrument. And this symphony becomes like the glorious the symphony when each one is just has their own instrument and we're playing this most amazing music piece. So, if we are like the, you can call them, the better word sheep, maybe the other word is, you know, the pigs when they just walk as a herd together and they don't know where they're going, but they're just following each other and they can all kind of fall in a big ditch. Sometimes we don't feel that, but if I am conforming, then I am kind of this dog or pig just following the rest of the crowd. I don't know where they're going, but they must be going somewhere and we all get in trouble. Maybe one final example, and this is Elizabeth. All the people came and told her, it has never happened in our tribe that someone can be called by the name John. You have to call him by someone, a name that was used in the tribe before, but calling a foreign name like John is not acceptable. Like, what are you doing? And everyone was against that. But she was very clear. She knew exactly what his name should be. And she said, no, his name will be will be John. So the pressures can come from all around, from the closest people to us, and they can sound really good and really strong, but we need to be careful, and we won't be careful unless we know how to sit by ourselves with God. So that's number two. Are you with me? So number one is individualism. Is that a right English word? Okay. And the second one is, I'm sorry, the first one is a healthy relationship with self, and the second one is individualism, not conforming to the crowd. What's the third one? That's a very, very important one, and sometimes we don't feel that we're doing that, but basically setting boundaries. What does setting boundaries mean from your own experience, from what you know about boundaries? What does it mean that I am setting boundaries or I am not setting boundaries? I'm living with good boundaries or I'm living with no boundaries? It's different than individualism, but it helps, yes.
Like I think of it as like rules, but not really rules. You know what I mean? Just like a way to live your life. Like this ideas or thoughts, like you know, rules, I guess, that you choose to live your life. And you refer back to those rules in everything that you do. You know, it's kind of like a little mental checklist. I guess, you know, that's how I get it.
Okay.
It's a limit.
A limit. Okay.
Something you don't cross, you know, that's the line right there. You don't cross over that line. You know?
Yes.
It's like a barrier right there.
Okay. Can someone develop more?
Even like sticking to your own schedule or like your own priorities, not like if everyone's going out to eat, but you have to study, like, you know, going to study and not like just...
Very good. Setting my own priorities, setting my own limits in terms of relationship with others, in terms of, as Sasha said, in terms of knowing what I want and abiding by that. Okay. We have another problem with boundaries, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but I think also in our culture this is very strong, where the boundaries are not clear, because as we are growing up, sometimes we learn that basically I need to submit to authority, submit to someone who's stronger than me. And what ends up happening is I have to do this because I was asked, and I have to do this because this person told me to do this, and I have to do what my parents told me because they will be mad at me and they will give me guilt after that, and how dare you not do this, and we do you this and we do you that, and we want you now that we ask you to do this, you're not doing it. Basically, we grew in a culture where the weak submits to the strong. And basically, what do the strong people do? They control us? Someone said something here.
I said they bully us.
They bully us. So they control us. They bully us by putting a lot of guilt on us. It's guilt inflicting. They threaten sometimes. They put pressure. Okay, so basically there's the mentality of you're inferior, I'm superior, you need to submit to me. And when the boundaries are not clear in my eyes, I sometimes cannot draw those boundaries and I fall. And I say, well, I don't want to, but I have to. And is that right? No, I need to realize that this is a lie, and I need to realize that God made us all in His image, and we are all equal. We are all equal. There is no one superior than no one. And now that I am an adult, I need to submit to who? God is my authority. So not people are not my authority, but God is my authority. And by that I mean authority, I mean the unhealthy relationships where someone is putting guilt, putting pressure in order for me to do what they want me to do. And sometimes without us feeling, we cross those boundaries and we put that kind of guilt on others and put that kind of pressure on others so they can do what we want them to do. And if I am the strong, and sometimes I don't label myself as the strong, but sometimes I put that pressure. I want to spend time with this person, so I tell them, I really... I can put guilt on them, you know, I really need you at this time, and that's what a friend is for. Or if I am your coordinator in the service or something, I can tell you, well, that's what God wants us to do, and I can even sugarcoat it and put it under the umbrella of religion. You have to carry your cross, you have to sacrifice, you have to submit your parents, that's what the Bible said, and I can bring verses from the Bible to put pressure on others, and in this way, let them. I don't respect their boundaries. I want them to do what I want them to do. So we need to be careful. Sometimes we are the ones crossing other people's boundaries, and sometimes there are other people who are crossing my boundaries. And I need to respect their boundaries, and I need to make sure to build my boundaries and make sure they don't cross it. And to some people, it's very difficult because they are still weak. And those people who are still weak, they need a spiritual support. And I've seen that a lot as I serve. Sometimes there are people, their parents put a lot of pressure on them, even though they're adults, they're 20s, sometimes they're 30s, and they can ask them, so what did you eat today? And everything they buy, for example, they need to see it, okay, text it to me, email me the picture, or why didn't you call today? And they put guilt because I need you to talk to me every day, and they feel like... Sometimes parents, they don't realize, but they don't realize that they're adults. They need their space. They need to be free. And they put this guilt on them. Why didn't you come and visit me? Why didn't you come and ask about me? And I was in the hospital, and sometimes they cry to get their children to feel guilty. So there is a lot of that in our culture, but I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that, but we need to be careful that we don't. And sometimes when I know someone who's...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Helen.
There's no problem. I mean, I understand what you're mm-hmm. saying about the boundaries, mm-hmm. you know, but I think that, if somebody is in an authority position, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily making the other person being inferior that they're following. Like, I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. Whoever is in authority should not enforce guilt mm-hmm. on others to do, mm-hmm. you know, what's being asked of. Mm-hmm. But again, sometimes when someone is in authority, that is within the realms of their boundary.
Right.
But sometimes what happens is, I think we have a tendency not to really understand the definition of their boundary, so we look upon it that they are crossing our boundary, when in reality, they didn't cross our boundary.
Mm.
They are within the realms of their boundary, mm-hmm. and I am in the realms of my boundary, but maybe because I don't want to do what that person told me to do, mm. I use this as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not to say that I'm inferior to somebody who's in an authoritative mm-hmm. position, because mm-hmm. that's not the issue there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about, like, my friends or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, if my friend is, you know, stronger than me, then yeah, I fall into this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
But because, you know, guilt should not be a method mm-hmm. at all to convey a message to
mm-hmm.
anyone,
mm-hmm.
no matter what position they are in.
Right, know? Right. So I can detect the unhealthy relationships by the people who inflict guilt, who threaten, who put pressure in a way to do what they want me to do. For example, let's say I am a coordinator in the service, and these things need to be done, and we agreed from the beginning that these things need to be done. So it's different than me. Basically, I go to work, I know what I'm expected to do at work, versus someone doing their own agenda and using me as their
right.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to
yes, very good. No, that's good. Feel free to give any comments at any time, and don't apologize.
Can I ask a question? Mm. Like with our parents, we're commanded to honor them. So
yes.
Sometimes, yes, they inflict guilt, and sometimes, like, they're justified in what they're saying, and even though, like, maybe they're crossing a boundary, they still have a point. And, mm-hmm. like, how do you balance making sure that you're honoring them and, like, caring for them when they're older and, like, still you know, not responding to guilt or responding because you should.
Yeah, this is a very good question, and basically I am going to make my decision based on my priorities and based on. Once I know myself, it becomes so easy for me to make this decision. A phone call, a friend calls me, an emergency, please come. But if I go, there is another very important priority for me at this point. How should I know? Should I go because she's calling me and she's crying? Or should I stay? Or my family, the same thing? What are those priorities? Once I sit down and I know my priorities and I am in tune, me and God, like just one, like, God, what do I do now? I will be confident and I will not inflict this. Sometimes we inflict this guilt on ourselves. Like, I should have done this and I should have done that. But God knows that we have 24 hours, we have abilities, we have limitations, and there is something specific He wants us to do today. And once I am in touch with myself and God, it will be easy for me to make this decision. Today I'm going to spend time with my family. Tomorrow this is what I'm going to be doing. And sometimes God sends in, it doesn't mean that God will not send an emergency for me here and there, but if I'm in tune, I'll know this is from God and versus this is from the pressure they're putting on me, and I shouldn't listen at this point. It's not going to be the end of the world.
Okay. If we set boundaries for ourselves and then we have people in our lives that just may not understand those boundaries, like, how do we handle that? Because whenever I set boundaries for myself and I see that somebody's getting upset by them, mm-hmm. although I know I'm not doing anything mm-hmm. wrong, but there's somebody close to me, mm-hmm. like, I still feel so much guilt, and that leads to so many problems mm-hmm. with that person, mm-hmm. and then the relationship is, mm-hmm. you know, completely gone, and I don't know if, am I doing the right thing, but at the same time, I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm putting up boundaries. Mm-hmm.
It's a very good question.
And it puts strain on the relationship of friendship, mm-hmm. and, like, the guilt is just,
And that's why the guilt will go when I know that what I'm doing is what I need to be doing. And I can put the worst case scenario, I'm going to lose this friendship for a while. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. And sometimes when we put boundaries with our parents, sometimes, okay, I don't want to talk to you. And sometimes they, like, and they can be babies at times and they can say, like, I don't accept that. And I should, with the support, if I'm weak, I need support with someone who's, it's okay, you can do this. Until we build the boundaries. Yes, they will be upset for a while, but after a while, when they know that you're set, you're not going to, they're basically putting pressure with the hope that you'll go back to who you really were with them. And once they realize, no, there is no going back, if they really want this friendship, they will accept you for the way you are. And that's what we eventually want. And if they don't accept you for the way you are, you need, it's okay for you to, you're going to show them love, but at the same time, it's their choice to have this relationship healthy back again, but healthy with the right boundaries or not. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even if you lose your relationship with your parents?
Yes, I tell you why. Because it's a big, big question. It's a big, big, big question, but I tell you why I say why with confidence. Because who am I trying to please in the end? And there is a verse who says, whoever does not hate father or mother, and you say, like, hate father or mother, like, sometimes there comes a time when, like, I need to follow what God wants me to follow, and if I am going to live under submission and the approval and the acceptance, and sometimes the acceptance of my parents because I am afraid and because I am weak or because I can't say the Bible is saying that at this point, because God and what He wants me to do and me following Him comes first. And sometimes it will mean me losing my parents. Most of the time it doesn't do that way, but they can show it. I am strong.
With Christ, it becomes to where you're so confident, like, you know inside of you, when you pray, you know inside of you that this is your mission.
Can I just add one thing, and maybe this will clarify? By me honoring my parents, when my parents, basically, as I am a child, I obey and I submit to my parents, and then I grew as an adult, I honor my parents, and by honoring my parents, meaning I attend to their needs, meaning when they're adult and they're getting old and they need someone to take care of them, to take care of their physical needs, to get shopping for them, to take them to a doctor, I will be doing that, but not submitting to them and being directed to what I need to do but by what they're telling me. So I honor them. If they're sick, if they need me, I will do whatever I need to do as my duty as a daughter to them, but I will not submit to what do this or do that or go here and you should come spend the weekend here and you should, you know?
Yeah, but sometimes the submission is out of love. Like, you know, if my parents tell me, I don't live in the same city with my folks, so I have that problem myself. Mm. When I go visit my folks, I want to see my friends, but my parents, they want me to stay home. But again, I understand them, but at the same time, I try to divide myself. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I spend time with my folks, but at the same time, I go see my friends. But what I want to go back to what Monica is saying is that, be careful, Monica, because sometimes we feel, you know, I'm not saying, you know, this just depends, but sometimes we feel like I do have this good relationship with God inside myself, and I do believe that I'm standing for, you know, so I believe that in my mind, I have that, but in reality, maybe I don't. So I want to just tweak one little thing. I think building your relationship with God, also you need the guidance of your father of confession.
The
guidance of your father of confession will help you to know when you're defining these boundaries, even with your parents, you know, to guide you how to, where what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's scenarios, like, for example, I totally agree. Like, parents, especially here in this culture, the pressure on you to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, and they have, like, this, you are going to do this, but you know in your heart that is not what you're set for. Mm. That boundary is there. And even though they may get upset because you're not going to be this doctor or this lawyer or this engineer or whatever that is that they want.
What they couldn't do, they want their children to do.
That is a good boundary with the parents, but I think, like, we have to be really careful how we set our boundaries with our parents.
Wisdom, I'm not saying, like, rebel against your family. I'm just saying the idea, and I like that it brings up this point, because sometimes we are brought to guilt and we're like, maybe, and we don't realize, like, our parents are human too. Like, sometimes I'll say, oh, my mom said no, so this is for sure not the will of God. But that's not wise of me either. There's got to be discernment. I have to know, I have to be confident with my relationship with Christ, and I should also trust their relationship with Christ and know that there's going to be this great balance. But there has to be that discernment where I have to fight for knowing what it, like what's my voice inside of me too. It's great to listen to them, but don't just stop there.
We were talking about Tama Virginia a few minutes ago, and her mom didn't want her to become an aunt, and her parents, but in the end she knew her individualism was, I will be a nun.
Yeah.
And even though her mom was a saint and she had a great relationship with with saints, but
and that's so hard though. Like, how do you, like, when I look at Tama Virginia, I'm like, wow, like she must have had this great relationship with Christ to be able to stand up and say, no, I know this is the will of God for me. Like, it's hard to stand to your parents and say, like, it's confusing when you hear, you trust your parents a lot, so when you hear them say, this isn't for you, it's really difficult to, like, listen to both sides and be able to make that discernment. Like, okay, at this point, is that really God telling me, no, stop what you're doing, this isn't for you, or is, you know?
Yes.
And then I think also when, like,
this is a very big topic.
Yes.
We are not asked to obey our parents when we are adults. We are asked to honor them as we are adults.
Yeah,
this is very important.
With honor, it means like to to speak with them with love.
Yeah,
sure.
Because some youth with their folks, they are very adamant about their position, you know, because they really believe that they are right. But, you know, presentation is everything. You know, the way you convey your message, the way you convey your boundaries, like even what you're talking about with your friend Christine, like, you know, the way you talk to them to explain, well, this is my boundary, this is my, you know, it versus like being tough and rough about it and enforcing it, you know. People don't react to
but sometimes even when you say it in the kindest ways, they're not going to accept
it. Right.
She wants to say something.
Sorry.
Yes, it's okay?
I was going to say that, okay, I love my mom. But there are a lot of issues me and my mom specifically we don't agree on. We don't have the same personality. And that's something I've always struggled with. And I'm also not a weak personality. So usually I'm very stubborn and hard-headed. Not good, you know, I'm too stubborn.
That's your personality.
I try
out of it.
I try to, as I'm getting older and I'm trying to let go of the stubbornness a little bit, I'm starting to see that as much as I can, I want to compromise to make my mom comfortable. Because I know she loves me so much, even though sometimes she asks for ridiculous things, if I can compromise it, I will. Not out of weakness, but out of choosing to make her comfortable because of how much she's chosen to make me comfortable in her life. But I do agree, when it's something like going against the will of God, obviously, but when it's something like call me every day, although it might be annoying to me, but if I can just like force that little thing that I don't want to do, that's totally above my boundaries because I don't want to call anybody every day, really, but just that, if you just make yourself do those little things, if it's comfortable, then it's okay to push yourself to make it happen. I definitely not like her telling me, come here this weekend, if I can do it, I'll try, just for the sake of, even with friends, I will do that. Like, the boundary thing, if you could come on yourself a little bit to make someone happier, I don't think that's a big deal.
We're gonna clarify that, yes.
And just to kind of follow up on that, like, I'm of that personality too, like, if I can do something for someone else, then I'll try to, but at the same time, I'm realizing that comes at a very high personal cost.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that it's becoming very destructive to myself.
Yes. Can I continue and maybe we keep the questions? But write your questions down because it might be covered no, that's very good. But it might be covered so we don't repeat ourselves. So I want to also add a point here in boundaries is a big, big subject, but we'll try to talk about it fast. Privacy. I have my privacy and I need to put, I cannot be a city without walls. Anyone who wants to get information should not be able to get information from me. So I need to have those walls. I choose who I will entrust and tell what I want to tell, and I always have limits of who to entrust with what and what information I give who. But if someone comes and puts pressure on me to give information, I shouldn't. I need to be a private person, and that's part of setting the boundaries. Christ himself had different boundaries with different people. He had some privacy with the 12. Sometimes he had some privacy with the 3, Peter, James, and John. And sometimes he had a privacy with one, which is John the Beloved. So he chose who he's going to say what to who, and we need to respect that. And sometimes we are the ones who want to know things from others, and we don't respect their boundaries and their privacy. But I need to be strong enough to say, I can't talk about this. And that's part, it's hard, but we need to work on that. Okay, so I think I want to put on people.
Is that a crisis? Someone was like, by that, I can get confused, but that's like showing partiality.
It's wisdom. It's not showing partiality because I know the people and I know their personalities and I know who I can trust with this and they're going to keep it. And basically I need to tell them because maybe I need their help in a way. And I have to have the freedom to choose. And a mature person will not be upset if you come and ask me something personal and I don't tell you and you get upset. It means, or vice versa, and I get upset, then I haven't matured yet. So a mature person will accept that with no hard feelings at all. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I heard that your past experiences can become your talents. So whenever somebody approaches me about something they know that I've gone through, I might not like always want to want to share, but I feel like it is to their benefit for me to tell them this is what I've experienced and this is what I've gone through. And I'm
and that's your choice. Like, as long as it's your choice, you're not pressured to do it. You have the boundaries and it's your choice.
But sometimes I feel like I have to just because they want to know what I'm struggling.
No, you don't have to, as long as you have peace about it and you know that this is not necessarily good for them and maybe that's not the right time. So with time with me and God, I will have that discernment. Okay?
You don't have to tell the whole world everything anyways. I mean, that's how gossip starts. Yeah. You don't have that trust. You're going to have like gossip going around about stuff. But you don't trust the person. Mm. You can hurt them by giving them an attention. Mm.
Okay, sometimes I go back again to the area of parents and rarely friends, and sometimes I see it in friends where I control people or people control me by making me believe that I am independent, that I am dependent on them, that, for example, financially, I'm an adult, but I'm still a little bit dependent. I need their financial support. I need their emotional support. So some people have a hold on me, and I depend on them. I need to reach independence and competence. What does competence mean?
Understanding. Yeah.
Does it have another explanation? Yes, I can, Yani. I'm capable. Yes, I am capable, and I am independent, and we are equal. Okay. So we said that we need to accept that people are different, and I need to give them their space, and they need to give me mine. They don't need to think like me, to act like me. Okay. We need to know that I will give an account for my life. Okay? I will give an account for, let's say together, I will give an account for my life. So if I stay in an abusive relationship, and we see that sometimes someone, because they feel weak, they stay in an abusive relationship and their kids grow up tormented because I chose to stay. For example, I got married and my husband is abusive, and he abusive verbally, physically, and in the end I say, well, this is what needs to be done. And if basically I'm going to give an account for my life, if I ruin my children, if I ruin my life, I will, in the end, it's my responsibility. Okay? The norm and the pressure can tell me, and the culture can tell me things, but in the end sometimes it's very difficult for me to stand up for what's good and what's good for me and my children. And I need to be very in tune with God to know that, because sometimes the culture will oppose even that. Okay? So we talked about privacy. I don't have your handouts, but Abuna did this handout. Okay, so we talked about privacy, we talked about independence, we're going to talk about responsibility.
Do you want to keep it?
That's okay. here, I have one. So that's all under boundaries. I am fully responsible. I am fully responsible over my thoughts, my use of my brain. I'm fully responsible over my words, my feelings, my reactions, my decisions, my choices, the planning of my time, the planning of my money, my possessions, my spiritual life, and my body. And maybe the list is longer than that. What does that mean? I'm responsible over a lot of stuff, okay? God gave me a lot of talents, and I'm responsible over them. The money He gave me, the health He gave me, my spiritual walk with Him, it's all my responsibility. When I say a word, when I act in a way, when I behave in a way, I have to take personal responsibility over this. I don't say, well, they pushed me, well, they... Okay? And basically, it's under conformity, because sometimes we conform and we give ourselves the excuse. They asked me, and even though I wanted to spend time with God today, but I received this phone call, and this happened, and that happened, and I couldn't, and I'm blaming it on outside forces. But I'm fully responsible. Helping others and their problems and neglecting my spiritual life and my family can be a problem. So I always need to know what comes first, what comes second. I will not be able to do what's in front of me to be done. And sometimes I need, in order for me to help others, I need to retreat and withdraw and energize to be able to go back to the world and serve the world. And people might not accept that. You left me when I needed you the most, but maybe I was too empty to help somebody at this moment. Okay? So it's my responsibility. So that will happen through God's wisdom and discernment that He gives me. I can know when I should be helping others, family, when to retreat, when to refuel, and when to spend time with God. Okay? That's number three. Number four is objective view of the other. What does that mean? How should I be viewing others?
Without my biases, without my feelings, without my insecurities, it's just...
And my expectations.
List of facts.
Yes. Sometimes I put high expectations on others, and sometimes I view others the way I want to view them. Okay? And sometimes we view God the way we want to view Him. I need God in this, and I expect God to do that, and I will fall into not knowing who God is if I am putting everyone in the way I want to see them and I want to know them. So I want to give them, see them objectively. A mature person can see the other as a unique entity with their own personalities, views, and limits. Not how I view them and what I expect from them or demand from them. Okay? Okay. So that's boundaries. Number four. I know it's a lot of material, but I want to give it all out for you to work on it. Each one of those is a talk by itself, bas malish. Number four. And what is it? Being realistic and managing life with its obscurities and pain. This is a very important one. And mature, for me to reach maturity and to get off this mask and keep it off, I need to know this fact. I need to be realistic about what life is all about. How can I be not realistic about what life is all about? What is life not all about? Huh? It's not all about me. Very good. It doesn't revolve around me. That's a very good point. So part of maturity is accepting the fact that life is obscure and painful. And not everything has an explanation. And sometimes we oppress those questions, but sometimes there are questions that have no answer. Why is this horrible thing happening to this person? And why is that dramatic thing happening in the world? And why would God allow this? And why... Okay, there are questions sometimes in life that have no clear explanation now. And I need, a mature person needs to know that. There are things I will not know now. There are things that don't have an answer now. And I am okay with that. Because sometimes we get really frustrated and I will not be at rest until I understand why this and why that. And of course there are things I need to understand, but other things I need to be okay with. It doesn't have an explanation now. Maybe God will explain later. Maybe not while I am alive. Okay? So, in order for me to reach that point, there needs to be a trust factor. I trust God. I trust that He is good. I trust that He is loving and He is wise. And I accept the fact that many things will not make sense here on earth. Okay? In order for me to reach, for me to be real about life, I need to understand that, and remind myself, because sometimes you forget, that life here is temporary. And if I forget that in the busyness of my life, I will get stuck. So I understand the reality that life here is temporary. If I focus on the here only, it will be extremely difficult to understand the meaning of life. Okay? Because there are people who live and die in pain, and we have a big question. Like, this person lived handicapped or paralyzed or in their house, in the room, they never left their house for all their life, and they died, for example. Like, does that make sense? Of course, things... Okay, so let's read together 1 Corinthians 15:19. This room is a little warm, or is it just me?
It is warm.
هتنام وكده مني. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Okay, can someone read it for us? So basically, if I am one of those people who think my only hope is in this life, I am out of all people most miserable. Of course, I will be very miserable if life is all about the here and the now. Okay? So this life is missing things, and this life is incomplete. Okay? And it doesn't provide... Okay, this is news for some people, and maybe not news for some people, but life does not provide all I wish for and all I dream. You know this dangling carrot mentality? Like this carrot, and the more you move, this carrot is still moving, and I'm almost there to reach this carrot, but I never reach this carrot. This is the mentality sometimes we... So I need to realize that life does not provide all what I wish for and all what I dream to have. Okay? Not all my dreams. I know this is sometimes crushing, but I need to understand the reality of life so I am not crushed. Not all what I dream will come true. I will not reach total fulfillment down here on earth. Okay, there is a misconception sometimes in Christian books we read, especially the non-Orthodox books, because sometimes there are titles that tell you 10 steps to reach total healing, 10 steps to reach total whatever. I will not reach total fulfillment down here on earth. That's heaven, okay? And God will not give us heaven down here on earth. So don't be frustrated when you're not 100% satisfied. So what is this supernatural life God is promising us as Christians? Doesn't that conflict with the amazing life God is promising, supernatural life God is promising us as Christians? What is that then? Can someone explain that to me? I'm telling you that life here, it's a narrow path and it's a painful road. I'm not going to reach total fulfillment. There are dreams that I have that might not be fulfilled down here on earth, and I'm being crushed right now. But you're telling me that life in Christ, I have come to give them life, and I'm coming to give them supernatural abilities. What is this supernatural ability that's promising us? Yes, Habib.
I think that they don't conflict because you're never going to really reach ultimate fulfillment, but life is still like an adventure along the way where you get fulfilled little by little until you grow and grow and grow more and more in Christ. And even though you don't ever reach that end, that just makes it even more exciting to see what your next step is. And then whenever you're in heaven, it's like the grand finale. Mm-hmm. Like, here it is, you made it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it conflicts. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad we don't reach spiritual contentment here.
Because we will
conflict because it's the he's promising that peace through those situations. Mm-hmm. It's the great supernatural thing is that you have peace and joy throughout black and white, throughout good and bad.
And you know how this peace comes? The big miracle that happens in us as we walk with Christ is that we are set free from self to live for Christ. And I think the thing that depresses us the most is when I am revolving my life around myself. And when he said, whoever desires to follow me, they have to deny themselves, carry the cross and follow me. That's where the supernatural life really starts. When it stops being around me, I can have peace, I can have joy, I can have a purpose. And that's the life he's calling us to live, and that's where the mystery and the power of Christ come in. So basically, I'm living the life Christ lived on earth, and he did not live for himself. And who can here attest and say Christ lived? He was happy all the time. He was in heaven all the time while he was here on earth. He went through a lot, but he did not live for himself, and that's what he's calling us to live down here on earth. Okay?
I got a little confused. I don't know why. You said the two
the two situations that are not conflicting is walking in like the hard narrow path versus finding peace on earth. Is that what it is?
Okay, we're saying that even though I will not reach the total happiness, the total contentment, the total fulfillment, I will reach being freed from self to live for God. And that's where the peace comes from. That's where the fulfillment gradually comes from. So basically, denying the self is the mystery, is the miracle, is the supernatural power.
And that's why they don't conflict.
Yeah, what's conflicting?
They're saying if they don't...
The question was, life here is not all, like, happy, that it's, you're going to go through hard times and stuff, but then Christ tells us, well, you know, I'm here to give you joy, and you can be joyful all the time. So she was like, well, does that conflict? Mm. That was the question, like, to what Christ is telling us versus what we actually experience here on earth. Mm. That was the question.
So the truth is, we're not going to be happy and giggly 24/7, but we will be set free from self, and we will have, God will always give us a glimpse of heaven, and then a challenge for me to grow, and a glimpse of heaven, and then a challenge. It will always be like that, but it will never be always heaven now and here on earth. Yes?
I think like when we go through really, really like intense times, there's this small opportunity he gives us to have peace. And a type of joy in that moment, like, and I feel like those are the moments in your life where you experience His grace the most. Like, so I feel like there is the promise of joy in quotation marks, like in everything.
Exactly, it's like that. Like if I try to explain that someone who doesn't know me, then you're so weird and you're miserable.
Mm-hmm. Like that's why it's so versatile, because it's like we are like a bunch of, to other people they're like, whoa, it's so weird. What are you doing?
Can we make it very clear? What is my goal of life? Is my goal of life joy or something else?
Yeah.
My goal of life is not joy, but what's my goal of life? Love and sacrifice, okay? My goal of life is to love and to sacrifice. If that's become my goal of life versus happiness, I will live and I will be mature and I will move on, because I get crushed a lot because I think the goal of my life is to be satisfied. But my goal of my life is to love and to sacrifice. Then, okay, I can handle this. But if I don't know that this is my goal of life, I will be crushed so much. So what's my goal of life? To love God, love myself, and love others.
What is the line in the Christian song? If this world will never be what I expected, I don't belong.
Shaifa sings, they are very important. Can you say it again?
Oh, it's who sings it? Do you guys know the Christian song that says, this world will never be what I expected, and if I don't belong, what if I said?
Yes, I know, but I can't, like, I've heard the lyrics, so I can't hear it.
It's something else that said to them. What's the Casting Crown song whenever you say, let go of yourself? No, it says goodbye self. Good time,
So we're gonna move to number 5. We're getting there. There's a lot of material. We're getting there. Number 5, the presence of meaning and goals for life. Okay, all this in English is distorted, but you understand what I'm trying to say here. I don't discover the meaning and goal of my existence. If I don't discover the meaning and the goal of my existence, I would feel empty and worthless no matter what my accomplishments are. So there is a need in me to know what my goals are, and God gave me this ability to accomplish those goals. So I need to discover what those goals are, okay?
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I think like when I hear this, it's like the most beautiful thing I've ever heard, because it's almost like a beautiful irony, because in order to find your purpose and your place here, you have to lose yourself and you have to sit with yourself and sit with God to find it back. It's like a like this is how I see whatever in every lecture that I've had since I've been here. It's like a this. It's like a yin and like it's like a two pieces. You know what I mean? It's like a back and forth.
Yes. Yes.
That's how I see it.
As. Yes.
It's like amazing.
And that helps us so much connect with God and interact and have the best friendship with Him.
Yeah.
So having a goal that revolves, again, that continues and affirms exactly what Sasha was saying, having a goal that revolves around myself will never be satisfactory, will never reach satisfaction. So basically the goal I have cannot be, my goal in life is to do something for myself or reach a certain point for myself, okay? My job, my family, so my goal in life is to succeed at work and to have this kind of family and be the best servant in my church and have this kind of social group, and that's my life and that's my goal. No, that will not ever make me reach satisfaction.
Isn't that why a lot of people are depressed?
Yes.
Especially non-Christians.
And Christians.
And Christians, yeah. But like majority, they're always like, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? Like, what is the point of my life? Because, I mean, that's where most of the depression comes.
Yes. Yes, so I need to make sure that the goal that I have does not revolve around me. And if it does, it's not going to reach anywhere. So I exist. So why do I exist? What's my real goal?
To serve and to love and sacrifice.
Okay, yeah. Can I simplify it and say, so I can have a fellowship and a relationship with God. Okay, and when I am one with God, He will always tell me what He wants today and tomorrow. Okay, and sometimes it's okay. It's really, really, really okay if I don't know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, because my goal is not in a certain, I'm going to convert 1,000 people, for example. Okay, my goal is I want to know God more and I want to love God more, and through that, He's using me every moment of the day. Can someone read full?
I like what we said. I can't remember who said it, but like living in the present is it.
Yes.
If you live in the present,
Yes. Yeah. Very, very good. So today I accomplished what He wanted. He wanted me to spend time. If all He wanted me today is to spend time with Him, that's it. If all He wanted me to do today is spend time with one person and be Christ speak and reach out to this person, that's what He wants for me to do today, and I am satisfied. Okay, can someone read for us Philippians 3? It's a big paragraph, but malish. Philippians 3, 10 to 15.
That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be the same mind.
Okay, it needs a little bit of meditation, but what's the big picture? What is St. Paul saying here? Do you see that he has a clear goal and he's saying, I press toward the goal for the upward call, and I want, what does he want to attain?
That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death.
Yeah, that I may know Him, and the rest is more explanation. So that's my goal, and I'm going to forget what happened yesterday, but I'm going to keep on. My goal is focused, and he says to all those who are mature, have the same mind. So if I have a goal and I am focused on this goal, I have hope to continue living until I reach what Christ wants me to reach. Okay, so a mature person possesses the ability to run towards that goal. To know Him, to love Him, live for Him, and Him in us. Okay? Number 6 and final. Right and proper thinking. And this is most important. If I want to continue on living free without masks, I need to be very careful with this somehow leads everything else. Thoughts generate feelings. What does that mean?
What you're thinking hear out all day and will translate into your mind.
Because sometimes we believe the opposite. Sometimes we believe, I feel first and then I think. I think first and then I feel. And I'm saying I have to have full control over my emotions, and if I have full control over my emotions, I need to be very careful with what I am thinking. So if I feel empty and worthless,
that's what you're thinking.
That's what I'm thinking. No matter what my accomplishments are, that's what I'm thinking, then that's how I will be feeling.
But if we, can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
If we just focus on the present and focus on God, then ultimately we will have less and less of that clouding in emotion.
Exactly. The more I do the steps that Abuna gave me yesterday, the more I read His Word, the more I read spiritual books, the more I read about the facts of what life is all about, the more my mind will, who I really am, my mind will start to clear off and my feelings will be under control. And that's why the verse that all of us need to live by, and me first, is Philippians 4:8. And for the sake of time, you probably know this verse very well. It says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things positive, 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 meditate on these things. Philippians 4:8. So if I am thinking, because sometimes, unfortunately, as women, we have somehow magnetic tendencies to think about whatever things did not work, whatever things are not good, whatever things are negative. And that affects our mood and affects people around us too. So positive in, positive out. Negative in, negative out. And of course, when there is negative in, it affects my mood, and therefore it affects a lot of other things. It affects my health. It affects my energy for the day. Some, like, you know, each one of us, we have a certain amount of energy to live. And if this is taken all out in the morning, I can go for the rest of my day. I lost my peace in the morning, so I'm running for the rest of the day without energy. So we need to be very careful. The words I utter, uttered words and statements, affect feelings and behaviors. Okay, sometimes I say things, I'm worthless, I'm never gonna succeed in this, I'm always going to. So when I say words like that, I believe them, okay? And it affects me. So sometimes it falls under exaggeration, and sometimes generalization. Things will never change. It's impossible for this to happen. So when I talk negatively to myself, of course it will affect me. I need to always work on, and this is, I'm almost done, khalas. I know it's getting very, very difficult, but... can we turn the AC?
La,
just turn the AC. I'm fine. Observing my thoughts and transforming them. Remember, we talked about growing up, a lot of life sneaked in, a lot of feelings of inferiority, a lot of wrong beliefs about who I really am, about things about life. If my parents and the important people that lived around me focused a lot on outer appearance, focused a lot on worldly success, focused a lot on I should be looking or behaving in a certain way. So that I am an adult, but I am carrying a bag of many, many lies for many, many years. And because we did not have filters growing up, we believed subconsciously a lot of that. So I am worthless, I'm a failure. Sometimes, you know, the best of parents, and I proudly say so, but I am not a good parent. I find myself, I try to be good, but I find myself, when I am under a lot of pressure, I tell my kids hurtful words. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
you. Sorry.
So when we as children grow up hearing those hurtful words about you're bad, you've done it, like negative words, I grew up with all this baggage of lies, okay? So I need to be working now on exchanging a lie with the truth, a lie throughout my life, a lie with the truth. And this will happen when I do my quiet time, when I read my Bible, when I spend time with God, when I read books, I read, oh my goodness, I always grew up believing that success at work is extremely important, for example, and it's not. And I tell, yes.
Okay.
you think you said about a lion and a tree?
Yes. I'm saying growing up, we believed a lot of lies. And we believed those lies because we did not have filters. We were children. If someone told me I'm ugly, I grew up believing I'm ugly. If someone told me you're not smart, I grew up believing I'm not smart. And so many lies like that. And those lies, because they're in me, they affect my behavior. And if I want to change, alter my behavior, I need to change those lies that are in me with the truth. And because the human being cannot accept inside him a lie and a truth at the same time, we go through power struggle and we don't feel it, and sometimes people don't even want to go there. So I read a statement about, for example, life is not about outer appearance, okay? But I grew up believing that life is all about outer appearance. So I'm going to do either or. I'm either going to drop the truth and just, I lived believing this, that's my comfort zone, I cannot struggle taking this truth in, or I say, this is the truth, it's going to take work, but life is not about outer appearance. Life is, and I digest, life is not about, what do I do that's, oh, this needs to change, you see? So I'm trying to, so either I will push the truth and continue living the lie because it's the comfort zone, or I will go through this power struggle, I believe something all my life, I need to take it out and put the truth in, and it will take some work, okay? Is this clear?
And it's difficult.
Because
the outside world is feeding the lie.
Yes.
And it's like such a struggle to
until today, yes.
Especially with your kids, like, think about how cool kids are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this pressure.
Thank you all for growing up in this country.
It was not easy.
And I grew up in New York.
Yes.
Really?
I think it's so important to hear, like, what we say about ourselves.
Like, Musa Gamal, she's saying a comment. Flawless.
No.
She's saying something.
I just say, sometimes I think it's really important the things that we say about ourselves. A lot of stuff. Like, I think we all, like, it's not to, we don't like when people call attention to us, or like we say things to put ourselves down. Mm-hmm. Like, I do that too. I'm like, oh, it was so dumb. Or, like, I know we're not trying to glorify ourselves, but that has a very bad impact on who I am and who, like, how I value myself. Like, I'm not saying sit up and talk about yourself all the time, but those little things when we make fun of ourselves or put ourselves down, it really, like, personally, it really hurts, like, how I view myself. Mm-hmm. Like, God puts so much value and worth in me that it's almost disrespectful to him to sit and view myself like that. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I'm not saying, like, it's a very hard concept for me to, like, internalize and actually do, but like I try to catch myself when I do it, but even when people around me say, like, bad things about themselves, I'm like, no, don't say that. They're like, oh no, like it's that, see how amazing you are. And like, if we feed ourselves, like, what we say, it can be very detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you have no idea that you're bringing somebody down when you're just, it's all in fun. Like, you don't mean to, but they're sensitive, like, and you don't know that you're hurting them and that those words stick with you.
Mm-hmm. Especially that you're sensitive, because it's not, those words will not affect someone who know themselves and someone who's confident. Like, if you're going to make someone who's, which is very rare, but someone who's very confident and you make fun of their shirt, they're going to wear the same shirt tomorrow and they won't care and what affect them. But because we are still growing into this maturity, it's going to affect us. But yeah, the healing will not come by them stopping what they're saying, because they might not, but by me trying to tell myself the truth. It it's not about what I'm wearing, and God builds me up from inside out. And as I was preparing this, I was really looking at my life. I used to be extremely shy. You know, we were four in a family, four siblings, and I don't remember my parents being bad by any means, but I think maybe I was just neglected out of four. So I grew up very shy, very sensitive, hypersensitive. If I'm in a group, like, please don't ask me a question, I don't exist. Terrified. Yeah, and I see how God, like, is this the same person? And you see, really, God does miracles. How did he build this confidence? I used to hate looking at myself in the mirror. I used to hate how I didn't like anything about myself. And God very patiently, and I don't know how it happened, but very patiently he started putting me in environments, he started doing things, and he started making me believe in who he really made me. And he takes us through it, even though it seems overwhelming today, but like, don't worry, because God understands so much how to build you all back up again without you even having a plan. Just cling to him, that's all. That's all.
Okay, I completely agree with your love circumstances, but I also noticed in her that the sarcasm and negativity actually feels like you have to be a better person, because then I don't care what people say about me, and I'm like, this is who I am, God made me like this.
Oh.
I give me all the comments you want, that just makes me stronger and makes me, like, believe in what I want more. Like, I don't, and then on top of that, that makes me a little bit less sensitive, because I'm like, I don't really care what they say, like, they can do whatever, it's a joke, who cares, because I don't like to take everything everybody says so seriously and make myself so hurt. So I even just take it as a joke. I can make fun of so much.
Me too.
You see what she's saying? She talks to herself a lot. In order, but if I don't talk to myself, I'll take it in. But she stops, this person said that, and I will not let it, and that's what builds. Yes. God in me. God in me empowers me. Yes. Can I connect these two together, because it's very important? Yeah. Yeah. But what you're saying and what she's saying is one. Can you say what you just said again?
I was saying that you're just spirit. You're like, it's like this journey that we're all on. You're like at a spiritually more mature journey than maybe somebody like me, who I'm very sensitive as well, and I take things to heart, and I care what people think, and it's God in you that's allowing you to be like, okay, her sarcasm stops right here, it doesn't affect me, because you really know what God's purpose is for you, what you're here for, and who you really are.
So the more God empowers you, the more you'll be able to...
Right. And I never used to be like this ever, yeah? But like, the thing is, I would get so paranoid about what people would say. It would upset me. I wouldn't sleep at night. How is this person saying this to me? And then I'm thinking about myself, like, I'm really such a bad person.
Yeah.
I'm not as spiritual, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, who cares? Like, I'm here in Tallahassee or wherever to do this and this and that. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it makes me see things on such a lighter note.
Mm-hmm.
And peaceful. I feel peaceful, and then I'm just like, I just feel like I build better relationships, and I'm like, whatever, it's whatever they want. That's the way they joke, I don't care.
That was after 5 years in Tallahassee.
Yeah, this
that's
is
what I want.
I think this would be most important.
I see a lot of people once they come in, one and two.
Okay, the same
and then
time, I agree with what you're saying. It can strengthen you and it can encourage you and stuff, but at the same time, it can make you bitter and it can make you cold on the inside, because you're like, oh, I hear this comment and I don't care what they think. Show, like, mask. It's very easy for that to happen. So, like, I just think that sometimes it's easy for me to tell myself, I don't really care what people think. I don't need people. I understand how God feels about me. And, like, there's like, a really fine line between I understand what God's intention for my life is, and I understand how he thinks of me, then I'm going to make myself not care what people think so that I don't get hurt.
Mm.
So I think we have to be careful to be sure that our cool confidence in ourselves is not just a shell that we have put to protect ourselves from their insults.
Mm-hmm.
I actually take the opposite way. I do care what people think.
do, but not because I get sad about it, but more because I'm very self-critical, and I don't get, not that I won't get upset, but I take what people say about me sarcastically, with it, like, there's always some truth to sarcasm, so I always think that there is something in me that prompted the sarcasm that I need to work on.
Yeah.
So, like, and my sister always tells me, like, don't care so much if people are saying, don't sit there and analyze what they said about you and what they think of you. She always tries to give me addict mentality. But I'll sit there and be like, Marina, it's true. Like, they said that. There's some sarcasm. There's something behind it. I need to change. So, like, I'm very, I don't like, it doesn't, like, I don't cry about it and get sad about it, but I want to fix whatever it was.
We have to filter, and I'm sure you do that. You take it and you filter it with God. Like, God, this is the comment I got today. Is this really something that you allowed them to say about me because you want me to change in this one? Or, but because if I always, like, everything they say, the devil can use it against me still. If everything people criticize me about, I put pressure on myself to fix it. And it's not God's timing for me to fix this, because there's so much for us to be working on. It can drain me, and it can, you know, you're the,
me. I think I'm
your personality is similar to mine, so I'm just saying.
So like, stop, you don't have to change these.
It can drain you inside.
Yeah, I have like a list of them.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes those lists is, like, God has his own list, and he says, what's your name again? I'm so sorry. Marina?
Rina.
Irini. Oh. So, I know Rina, and I know her personality, and I know that first I'm going to work on this. And after I work on this, I can show her and expose her to this. And God is so gentle, because almost every season of our life, he exposes something that needs to be worked on. But he has this plan. And when sometimes we overwhelm ourselves, I need to be perfect, because you're a perfect person, like, perfectionist. We...
You
don't pick. With your walk with God, you know he's working on this now, and you're praying about this now, but the big list can overwhelm you.
Oh, I just want to say, I completely understand, and I'll even go up to people and be like, do you really see this in me, whatever it is. But at the same time, where I was bringing up this point is because whenever we tend to, like, get really sensitive about people around us, we tend to hate our environment. Like, and I'm going to say this very straight, and this isn't to upset anybody, but, like, a lot of people don't like Tallahassee because everyone's, like, sarcastic and whatever, but God brought us there for a reason. And I am not there to hate it and be like, I used to love and just die and cry to go back home, but, like, now I'm like, I like it because I'm learning. If I was in Dallas, I would never learn. I wouldn't even be around people. Like, I'm happy I'm around harsh people. And they're not harsh. It's just, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's not even. It is. Mm-hmm. Very challenging, but it has brought me so far.
Yeah. And he puts you there to grow you, and then he puts you somewhere else to grow you again.
I lived in a city for 6 years. If I hated it, and I'm dying, I'd go back home. That's not why I'm
here. Bro. Face the battle and face the challenge. Yes. Yes. Okay, for the sake of time, okay, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's just like, at the deeper level, I think it's awesome, like, the way that we let God work in our lives and every, like, the way that we're built up. But I think at a deeper level of all of this is that as a responsibility to our brothers and sisters, we're supposed to speak the truth and love. We're not meant to tear each other down or to hurt each other. And I think that we need to be more accountable in our words and what we say to one another. That's like and foundation, because I'm not meant to say something that's going to make you feel, because we all do it to ourselves. We're all, like, the biggest irony is that we're all terrified of other people judging us or hurting us, but we do it to each other all the time. Like, we're worried about when we go to this wedding or what someone's going to say about us, and we're sitting here judging the other person. Like, you know, we all do it.
We're,
like,
human.
We're all human. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to, like, stop. We have to be more aware of it, and that we are injuring our brothers and sisters.
I think that's the first step, is awareness of it. And I think, like, so, like, stuff like girls, I don't think we ever taught, and I think this is one of our biggest reasons of wanting to do a girls, like, retreat, because we don't ever just sit around and talk about the things that, like, we're afraid of. We just do it to each other.
Exactly.
We don't just let it out and be like, okay, we're all doing it. What's our next step? Now that we're aware, what are we going to do now? How are we going to help each other?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
She will get it.
It all depends on who, like, who you're talking to, you know, because, like, for me, like Christy said, I created the, you know, I don't really care, what you say, because to me, I don't sit there and make a list, oh my God, this person said this, blah, blah, blah. I used to internalize it, and, like, when I used to talk to my father in confession, I sit there and I'm like, oh my God, I'm this, like, I will internalize it and
believe it.
Depressed about it, you know, and I'll just become, like, really depressed, and I'll hate myself, you know, like, I'm just sad, and all these people's comments in my head, and even though maybe I wouldn't even think about what they're saying, I'll just, like, just their tone of voice, or, like, you know, or, like, anything. And so then, slowly, Abuna and, like, my friends, and they're like, you have to have those friends who know you and who know what needs to be fixed and what doesn't. You know, so when you tell them, I heard this and this, they know to be like, okay, numbers 1 through 95, out. Number 96, maybe you can work on that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have those friends that also help you. You can filter through God, but oftentimes you need that, the voice mm-hmm. of reason that will tell you, like, that's what Buna does to me. It's like, you know, all those no, like, and it's hard because some people, like Christy, will create a, you know, I don't care about the sarcasm. To me, I probably, in Tallahassee, I would probably become very rough, you know, as well. Like, I would become rough because I would just be throwing the sarcasm back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my method. Mm-hmm. You know, some people grow stronger by it and become stronger individuals. But I think it all depends on... I was going somewhere with this, but I completely forgot where I was going.
You were saying we need...
I'm telling you that, which ones are real.
Yeah, we need counsel and we need guidance in order to. And I read this in a book, and it's been the motto of my life, and it will help you a lot. When I hear something, or when I react in a way, when I find myself losing my peace, then there is a lie. Okay. So if someone said something, or all of a sudden something happened and I lost my peace, the devil implanted a lie right there. And the devil will always use people, and the best of people. Like, if I am not...
What does that mean? It's a lie.
Yeah. I don't really get it. Yeah.
Okay. For example, let's say someone said something about me, and it made me lose my peace. Okay?
It's just, like, teasing and sarcasm. So, like, they say it.
So I lost my peace because of what they said. It means deep down, it affected me because deep down I am... In a way, I believe what they said. So there is a lie in me, and all what this did is just triggered it emotionally. So I lost my peace. When I lose my peace like that, it means there is a lie. So what is this lie? And maybe the list that Abuna, the sheet that Abuna gave you can help us with this. If I lost my peace, guaranteed there is a lie. Because when God wants to convict me of something that needs to change in me, He gives me peace with it. Okay? So all the time when God convicts me of sin and I repent, usually there is hope and peace that comes with it. But when the devil wants to inflict hopelessness in me, I lose my peace about it. So when the devil sends someone my way to say something, the devil knows exactly what's weak in there, so he's going to cut it through a person's comment. So that brings us to number 5. Yes.
Sorry, this is like a question about that. Like, for the, like, sarcasm comments like that, that would make me lose my peace. Because there is some truth in that.
No, there is a seed of this lie inside me already, is what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry. Okay? So there is, I don't believe in myself deep down, and that's why it affected me. But if what they said did not affect me, I will probably tell myself, this person is hurting, and that's why they're saying this. It has nothing to do with me.
Unless it's like a really one of your faults that you know, and they like make light of it, because they don't know that you know. I mean, like, it could be really one of your faults.
Yeah.
Or something that you're worried about.
But then again, what's the purpose? And you need to be, like, God will give us discernment, but basically the point, what the devil wants to do at this point is to take us a little bit at a time to hopelessness. Okay? Yeah, bring me down. Take my peace away. Okay? And if he takes my peace away, my mood is gonna go down, my health is gonna go down in this vicious cycle of negativity.
Sorry, one more time. So you said when God does something your way that needs to be changed, he gives you peace?
Yes.
And then the devil wants to bring you down.
Yeah, you lose your peace. You find inside there is no peace. I'm so down and I don't know. Then the devil planted a lie there. Okay, it takes a lot of work, and that's why here. First, we're going to talk about number five, which is false beliefs. Okay, basically, why do I get down? Because I internally believe that my satisfaction and my joy and my mood depend on outside factors. Really, if you really think about it, my joy, my mood, my satisfaction are dependent on outside factors. And therefore, anything outside happens, I find myself angry, upset, sad, depressed. Okay? And that's not true. My joy, my peace, my contentment, my fulfillment comes from inside, doesn't come from outside. And that's another lie we believe, and that's why we find ourselves always triggered by outside factors. But when we reach, through God's grace, this maturity, I will realize no one has the power and nothing outside, no matter what the circumstance, if I lose a loved one, if someone hurts me. When I reach this maturity, it will not shatter me because I know all these outside factors are going to vanish away one day. Whether it's people, whether it's things, whether it's circumstances, it's vanishing away. That's part of maturity. So we will conclude this number six, right and proper thinking, by reading Hebrews 12, 11 to 13. I took probably 2 hours, Mishkel.
We want to talk more.
Okay. Hebrews 12, 11 to 13. يمكن لو قلعت دوت هيبقى احسن شوي. It will smell bad. Yes. خلاص, no, I'm not tired of standing up. Someone has it?
Yeah, I can read it.
Or does someone already say that? Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed.
Hello, powerful. How are you, Mishkela? Can someone read it for us again?
Chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed.
Okay. So summarize, Kida, it says basically, pain, no pain, no gain, and this painful process will yield fruit. Okay? Conclusion. Basically, all what we said, can we really digest it? And can I take this paper with me everywhere I go? No, it's information we got. It's a process that we're going to be living by. And it's going to take the rest of our life to kind of live by it and try to work on it. But in order for me to apply this, I will not be able to apply it without God's grace. Okay?
Yes. So it means at the beginning there is a little bit of pain when you're convicted.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the peace. So sometimes if you do, the quote, sometimes if you do feel a little bit of unsettling, it's not always a lie.
You know, if the feeling I am having is accompanied by hopelessness, is accompanied by being distraught, then, yeah, of course, and when...
But a little bit of sadness for, yes, I need to change that.
Yes,
fine.
Of course, and a broken and contrite heart, God does not...
So hopelessness is the one, that's the lie.
Yeah, it's humility and being open and honest with God versus being... harsh on myself.
Change this.
Harsh on myself.
I'm just a bad person.
harsh on myself for your personality. Like it took me years for God. God is loving, but I am not loving to myself, and sometimes that hurts the most. Okay, and God tries all these years to reconcile you with yourself in order for you to love God. Okay, so me being hard on myself, God comes with hope. Okay, so I need God's grace in order to live this, and the church gave us means of grace, and with God's grace I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So grace comes by means of grace. Very easy. I take communion regularly. I go to seek the counsel of my Father of Confession and go for confession regularly. Get out, get cleansed, take communion, get Christ in me, pray, read the Bible. All these are means of grace. It will help me so much become who God wants me to be, know what God wants me to do, and so on. How much time and energy we give to those means of grace will determine how smooth the process will go. So if I give 5 minutes a day to the means of grace, so I spend 5 minutes Bible, prayer, and I go to the last 5 minutes of the liturgy or whatever, then that's how much grace I want. But if I want a lot of grace, I spend a lot of time in the means of grace, okay? And last but not least, I need to be connected to my spiritual family, to the church, because the church is the ark of Noah, and those who are inside the ark were safe, but those who kidda by themselves, so on, they were outside the ark, they perished. So it's good for us to be together, to be in the church, to be safe. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Comments or questions? Thank you. No, that's good. I know the boundaries one was is probably the one that takes a lot of the.
I've never heard that.
Yes.
Called boundaries.
Yes. It's a very good book.
It's a very, very good book. Teaches you about boundaries. And it has like a workbook that is a supplement to the book, so people, you know, guide you step by step. You know.
Yeah. Mm. I really don't feel like I have that many boundaries.
I don't.
Really
I'm reading that, starting to read it too. I promise you, if any of you pick up and read the first few pages, I bet every single one of you would relate to the woman in the book. She talks to the cloud. It starts off like the woman is married, and she, like, it's just like a little story. And she's married, and all the obligations she feels. She can't say no, that she's not going to help someone because it's not what God wants.
Self-reflecting makes me actually think about myself too much and not how God.
Oh, that's a very, very good question, and it's in topic very much.
So how do you make sure you're not overdoing it with myself?
Okay, remember one thing that maybe I didn't make clear, that when I'm sitting with myself, if I'm sitting with myself alone, that's very dark. It's not hopelessness. Myself, when I sit with myself, I'm sitting with God, because God is in me. And this conversation that's going on, it's going on between my brain and God. And I'm filtering, God, this is what happened today, and this is how I felt today. But me thinking with myself sometimes can definitely get into confusion, because myself is still not who I really am. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Because myself has a lot of life still inside. So whenever I say I am sitting with myself and God, it's my thoughts, I'm processing them with God. So I'm never sitting by myself alone. It's very...
So it's practically really saying
Ah, filtering everything with God. Why did I feel that way? Why did I react that way? What's really inside? What's...
Sorry. This verse is so awesome. The last part, it goes,
therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. It's simple. It's like basically like don't mess it up.
And you're so fragile; it can be dislocated. So
don't dislocate it. Heal it.
Very powerful.
I like what you said, because it's something that, you know, when we sit with ourselves, we sit with God, because I think this is a very important thing, because, and especially when we read these books like Boundaries, or, you know, all those other psychology books, you know, they put labels on people. You know, they label people very, very clearly, but I think sometimes when, if we don't have God,
yes,
we start labeling people, we start labeling ourselves, and some of these labels start becoming added negativity, you know, towards our of life, of output about ourselves.
It's a very important point.
You're not meant to do this, you know, it's just to bring awareness to yourself, to know, you know, okay, is there something truly I need to correct? God's trying to speak to me. So I like that God is the key.
Yeah.
Conversations.
Very important, because a lot of those books, yes, they are going to open my eyes to an important problem I have, but sometimes if I take every word they say literally, I found myself doing that. After I read the book Boundaries, I found myself, okay, I need to put boundaries in my service, I need to put that, and sometimes God doesn't want, I need to be flexible with God still. I have general boundaries, but He will break those boundaries sometimes, and He will take a time where I needed to be doing this for something else to happen. I need to have this flexibility. So I need to learn those general rules, but I need to always be in tune with God. Hashem, a fish rule kida. Very good. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I learned a lot preparing, so it was fun.
Sorry, we talked.
No, that's good. I like that.
Okay. We're going to hit the lights.
Really quick, sorry, so that we can go to the next thing. Actually, I'll say it after prayer. After reflection time, can we just sit for like just a couple minutes, just so I can give you a quick run through the schedule?
Okay, so just because this is a big topic, so we're going to stand and we'll just, you know, just take some time, we'll be quiet for a little bit, just think, reflect on, hold the paper if you need, review it, whatever, just reflect on what we talked about, and,